Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, how are you? Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show as we head for the weekend on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey, Steve is heading into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Yet to recover this weekend from all of the rains from 5+ days. So if you still have a little bit of work to do around your place, well, sooner or later, you got to stop and kick back and have a great beverage. And how about these specials at Brewers Outlet through Tuesday? Hams and Hams Light 30 packs, $11.98, plus Blue Moon 12 pack bottles, $14.95. Domestics, imports, fresh lineup of IPAs, and of course, soda, water, delicious snacks, chips, pretzels, fresh roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar, and bags of ice right there at the register. Easy carry out, all convenient for you at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury, open tonight till 9. Get in touch with us anytime. Our email, Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Website, SteveJonesShow.com. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Get episodes on demand when you want to hear them on your smartphone and tablet. Go to either Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play, and search Steve Jones Show. And we also have 3 months of shows always archived on the podcast page at SteveJonesShow.com.
Absolutely. In fact, they're used in terrorist interrogations.
Well, you know. vetting processes, or, you know.
You sit there and go, if you can survive this, you can survive working here.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Great to have you with us. Tim Kirchin today.
Hey, man.
What a tribute Peter Gammons paid to Tim Kirchin and Jason Stark today in his column in The Athletic. Really a great tribute. See something like that, and I think that's really cool. And obviously, Tim will be thoroughly embarrassed when I bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Because I just think, what a guy of the quality and legendary status of Peter Gammons refers to you as one of the purest of baseball writers, along with Jason Stark. That has a little depth of meaning to it.
Well, he falls into our category of old school. There's still nothing like, you know, grabbing a paper, picking it up first thing in the morning, and what's the first thing you do? Check out the store, you know, the scores, the stats, you know, latest numbers of individual players. I mean,
right.
That's exactly the way you do it.
Yeah, no, it's just, look, I always enjoy people who have a genuine love for the game, or it may be multiple sports, but have a genuine love to it. It's not a job to them. Yeah, it's a job, and there are some parts where you got to work harder to do whatever, but they love the job. You know, they wake up every day, it doesn't feel like a job. Tim Kirchin never once makes you feel like it's a job. Never. Never. Merrill Reese never makes you feel like it's, okay, off to the mine we go. mean, Meryl Reese never makes you feel that way. Ever. Right? Harry, you know, Todd Cowles is going to be gone. Harry never made you feel that way. Todd's dad. Never makes you feel that way. My brother. No. Oh, wait. <yeah. laughs> Hold on. Let me reel that in for a moment.
I was going to say, like, how many times has he heard from Claire in the last year, oh, you can leave the shop now, it's okay. But it's only across the street.
Yeah, I know. It's actually not even across the street. He just has to walk out the side and over, and there's the house.
Boom.
But this is what Peter Gammons wrote about Tim and about Jason Stark. I am in my 50th year in the news business and believe Tim Kirkjian and Jason Stark are the purest baseball writers I have ever known. How about that? Now that's quite a tribute, but it's accurate too. It's absolutely accurate. We're going to do a couple items here early, and then we'll work our way toward Tim Kirkjian and Todd Cowles, and then finally the Mystic from the East, who will join us and enlighten us. And I'll have an interesting story for him to tell from vacation. Penn State football has put itself, obviously, in a great spot. In a short period of time, they have gone from scholarship reductions and everything. I mean, I don't have to go through everything. Everybody who lives here knows it, okay? So we don't have to go through it, which is one of the great items of Dyke doing a show like this. They don't have to really rehash what the, you know, where they've been. But we know what they've done the last 2 years. It is very difficult in today's college sports world, football, basketball, to fight your way to get into the top 25. I think there are some people that think it's easy to be in the top 25. Oh, yeah, you're 20, 21. You're really not that good. You're 20, 21. It's hard. Okay? Those statements are just made by people. To be honest with you, those statements are made by people that don't like sports. That look at covering sports as a job. Like covering sports a job, so that's where you'll get the people who are they have kind of like the negative side of it, because I think they think doing this is like a job, it's work, as opposed to the passion showing up and loving it. And so getting to the top 25 is really hard. Getting to the top 15 is really hard. That next step. And then I think getting to that rarefied air of top five and staying there, once you've cleared all these other hurdles, I think is the toughest of all. It's the toughest of all. Penn State is in that group that's been able to get really essentially to the top seven or eight in college football. And the key now for James Franklin and his staff is to then keep them there every year, year in and year out, including this year. It's not easy to do. What happens is that when you get to this level, you have to literally every day check every single box. You have to check all the boxes every day, because guess what? Ohio State's checking the box every day. And they may be really small things. They may be really big things. Really big thing like recruiting and getting players to verbally commit and be a part of what you're doing. Part of it may be discipline. Part of it may be the weight room. Part of it may be taking time on your own to go through tape. Part of it, I mean, there's a long, long list. You know, to how you travel, how efficiently you do something, and how efficient is a drill on the practice field, how efficient is your travel, how, you know, I mean, all these things add up where you have to check every box all the time on an everyday basis. And I think there are times where people do not understand that in order to stay in this spot, in order to get yourself to maintain this level, in other words, hey, we're back. Well, you know what? The idea that, quote, you're back, the idea that you're, quote, back, I think then leads to the possibility of people relaxing. Well, this is where I have such great respect for James Franklin. He understands that the first time you relax on something, the first time you have any feeling of, ah, we're here, and there's, it opens the door to complacency. Complacency then opens the door to then falling back, and guess what? You don't want to retake the same ground. You don't want to retake the same ground. And I think that that is something where, as a head coach, he has had to work so hard to get to this point, he does not want to cede an inch. So while people, that's why he's telling everybody, he says, look, he says, you know, all this stuff, he says, oh, I'm hearing we're back. He goes, okay, he said, but we have to stay there. You just can't, like, okay, we made it all the way to the top of the mountain. Now we're going to, you know, everything's all good, and we can mail in 9 wins a year, and we're fine. That's not what he wants. So now when you get to this point, getting into the top 25 is really hard. And then getting your program to consistently be in the top 15, the next step, breaking through really hard. Being one of those top 8 schools, or even top 5 schools, probably is hardest of all, because now you are competing on a day-in and day-out basis with all the other teams that are consistently and forever in the top 5. Alabama has been there. There have been obviously some exceptions, post-Bear Bryant, post-Gene Stallings, until they got Nick Saban, where they meandered around and weren't considered a top 5 school. You can be top 5 year in and year out from the 80s into the early 2000s like Miami, and then suddenly fall off the side of the cliff for a while. Ohio State's been pretty close, had a little fall off here and there once in a while, but consistently they've been there. Clemson finally overcame the inability to win the big game in the big moment. And now they're consistently there. These are the people you are competing with. You are competing with the Ohio States, with the Alabamas, with the Clemsons, with the Oklahomas at this time. That's who you're competing against. You're competing against them in recruiting. You're competing against them in terms of process. You're competing against them, obviously, trying to beat them on the field. I'll give you an example of, can you be complacent? Penn State has not lost a home game since November 2015. They've won 14 straight games in Beaver Stadium. Awesome. Well, that doesn't now mean you just show up in Beaver Stadium, it's automatically a win. Again, that's complacency. You have to check every box, and then you have to maybe add 10 boxes that you didn't think of before. That's how meticulous college coaching needs to be today to maintain that level that they're at. The second you go, ah, we made it, we're in, or ah, we're back, right? During that exhale, somebody else was checking some boxes that while you were exhaling, you didn't check. And that's where they are. They have put this program on tremendous, solid footing. Now the last thing they want to do is to lose 1 ounce of momentum anywhere. And that will be one of the challenges in the preseason and one of the challenges all season long. Okay? Keeping the program moving forward and competing day in and day out, okay, against the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas, and so forth. Right? That's not easy to do. Maintaining that level is a really, really big challenge. Fortunately, they have a guy that understands it. James Franklin understands everything I just talked about. He's a very detail-oriented guy. Very detail-oriented. He is constantly looking around at best practices. And to him, you know, the process is far from complete. Every day is a continuation of the process to move it forward. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Between now and Tuesday, it is Hams and Hams Light 30-packs, $11.98, plus Blue Moon 12-pack bottles, $14.95. That's right, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I mean, the bottom line is, Sean, that you can never be complacent. You just can't make a sale and feel like you're done for the month, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh, I know what you're saying now. Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah.
Even though it's the 27th.
Well, you can't wait till the end of the month to make it either.
But I'm laying the foundation for next month. So sure, he says. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's quite a life. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. But I wanted to get that going first, because there is always that feeling, all right, we're back. Okay, well, it's fans. You can feel that way. The head coach can't feel that way. He's got to feel like he's got to fight for every inch every day, and he can't feel like he can concede a single inch moving forward. That's the big challenge. You know, once you get there, staying there becomes a huge, huge proposition. So I wanted to at least get going with that. Now, it turns out that we've got a couple of people on the show today that in their professions, that's what they do. Tim Kirchen, for the love of the game, is out there every day cranking out great material. Todd Callis every day goes out and does Astros games. I mean, believe me, he did seasons where the Astros weren't very good. Weren't very good at all. Let's see. Wheels is coming up on Monday's show. Neil Coulong on Tuesday's show. We're going to have Phil Steele is going to join us. A little bit more than a week, Phil Steele's going to be on. So we have a lot going on the show. Looking forward to it very much. Tim Kirchen, next half hour. A lot of trades being made. Yankees and Red Sox. The Yankees beefed up their starting pitching and their bullpen. The Red Sox beefed up their starting pitching. Cubs beefed up their starting pitching. They got Cole Hamels. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar is second to none.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
How can your summer memories last for the next 6 years? With a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia and up to 6 years interest free. Sunbury Motors Kia is helping make summer memories last and last during the America's Best Value Summer Clearance with 0% financing for up to 72 months.
That's 6 years.
On 2018 Kia Optima, Serenos, and Sportages. Own a 2018 Kia Optima for just $258 a month. A 2018 Kia Sportage can be yours for only $269 a month. Both for 72 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2018 Kia Forte, Souls, Niro, Sedona, and Cadenza. Own a 2018 Kia Soul or 2018 Forte for only $225 a month. month for 66 months. Celebrate summer with America's best value. The industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Offer expires 7/31/18. Financing through KMF for qualified buyers. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As much as I love to broadcast and do play-by-play of Penn State football and Penn State basketball, and also, you know, doing the Spikes minor league baseball games, Tim Kirchen loves to write and talk about baseball. And we welcome him back to the show, one of the very best. Tim, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Steve. Good to be back.
All right, Tim, no waivers are needed between now and Tuesday. Aaron Judge got banged up last night. He'll be out at least a period of time. Does that change how the Yankees think, or do the Yankees have enough that they can take care of it in the short term?
Well, they need to be worried about the short term, because even though they just updated and really made the club better from the pitching side, for maybe the next month they're going to be without Gary Sanchez and Aaron Judge, and those are two enormous losses. The greatest strength of this team beyond their bullpen is that devastating lineup that was on its way to breaking the home run record, and now they're going to have to figure out another way to do it, and they're going to miss Judge and Sanchez as they move forward, and I don't see them going out and adding a big outfield piece to replace Judge for, say, 20 to 25 games, because he's going to be back in September. So I think they're just going to have to make the best of it. And for a team with all this power, I think they're going to have to find a way to pitch their way through not having Judge or Sanchez for the next month or so.
And you say pitch their way through it. They've added Jay Happ, and then in the bullpen they get Zach Britton from the Orioles. So what can they do to make the Yankees better, in your opinion, knowing the quality of the two arms?
Well, Britton is really good. And one of the Orioles told me he's this close to being the Zach Britton of old, and that guy was virtually unhittable for right-handers and left-handers with that hard, darting sinker that nobody can handle. And I think he makes the most dominant, versatile bullpen I think I've ever seen. It makes it even more dominant. And now the Yankees can look at their club and say, wow, if our starter can give us four innings, we're pretty much in position to do some damage with our bullpen. But Jay Happ also gives them another element. He is not just a good pitcher, but he's had great success against the Red Sox. I think the last 10 starts he's made against them, ERA is under 2. I know the last 3 starts, 17 and two-thirds innings, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 25 strikeouts. And as they're trying to run down the Red Sox, that's a pretty good guy to have. And they play the Red Sox 10 more times this year, so that's going to be at least 2 more starts, you would think, for Happ against Boston.
Then Cole Hamels, you talk about history. Well, Cole Hamels has pitched well virtually everywhere, but he's pitched very well at Wrigley Field, including his one career no-hitter. The Cubs do have the best record in the National League right now. What does Hamels mean to Chicago?
I think he's critical to them. Even though he's not the Cole Hamels of old, he's still pretty good. Lately he hasn't been, but I'm told it's a mechanical issue that can be fixed as opposed to an injury issue, or his velocity is just way down. He's not too old to be good again, and he's really not too old to be really good in October again, a month that he has been great in his career. And this was important for the Cubs because they just don't know what they're going to get from Yu Darvish the rest of the way. It's a huge question mark. And their starting rotation just hasn't been what it's been over previous years, including in their World Series year. The reason they are where they are right now is they lead the league in runs scored. Their defense is very good now. Their bullpen is above average. Their starting pitching has been average. And the best of Cole Hamels will really give a boost to that rotation.
Now let's get you talk about Jay Happ maybe able to make two starts against the Red Sox on the other side. Nathan Eovaldi may be able to make two starts against the Yankees. He throws hard, and in postseason that really helps. But what do you see in the acquisition, especially considering Rodriguez and Pomerantz for the Red Sox and the fact that one's been banged up and one's coming off the DL?
Right. Well, those injuries to the Boston rotation necessitated going to get another starter. And, Steve, you said it. In this game, velocity is absolutely the king. With all of our hitters, almost all of our hitters, trying to get the ball up in the air, working on their launch angle, the best way to attack guys who have changed their launch angle is to try to throw above the barrel of the bat with high velocity. And that's what Eovaldi does very well. And that plays more than anything in the postseason. So they picked up a guy who should be able to help them greatly down the stretch, given the injury issues, and should be in the rotation in the postseason, given his style of pitching. We'll see how he does in a big-time pennant race like this, but my guess is 95 to 97 miles an hour plays just about anywhere.
A lot of people wanted Manny Machado. The Dodgers seemed to be in the lead the entire time. From the Orioles' perspective, what was it that made dealing with the Dodgers more attractive?
Well, the Orioles' farm system is barren, and they got five guys for Manny Machado. Now, other teams were offering three. As far as I know, the Dodgers were offering three, and the Orioles said, no, we're going to need more than that. And that doesn't mean that all five our top prospects. In fact, only one, the outfielder Diaz, who's going to be a great player, is probably the frontline guy. But with young players, if you develop them properly, there's no telling if one of them's going to pop and go from not a great prospect to a really good player. So that's why it worked with the Dodgers. The Dodgers had more prospects to deal than anybody else, and that was the most critical thing for the Orioles. In this purge that they're going through, two down and maybe a couple more to go, they have to acquire as many young players as they can because their system just is bereft of good, everyday young players.
The Phillies are in first place right now with a lead on the Braves. Is there anything that the Phillies are considering, to your knowledge, that could improve the ball club?
Well, like every other team, they're going to look at another starting pitcher. Like every other team, they're going to look for bullpen help. And even though the best of that group have moved, I still don't think the Phillies are done. And yes, they were in on Machado, and they're not going to get anyone close to him, but I wouldn't be surprised if they look for a bat, maybe someone on the left side of the infield that could help them. But it's just not the same group when you lose out on Machado. But they'll do something, because the Phillies realize we're here a year ahead of schedule and we got a chance to do something special here, and the best way to do that is to add, and I think they will. I just don't think it's going to be a giant add. It's going to be a helpful one, but not a huge one.
All right. This is also with the Hall of Fame coming up. What were your thoughts on this particular class, and what makes, you know, every class is special in its own way. What makes this Hall of Fame class special to you?
Well, it's a great class. I mean, you look at Vlad Guerrero, 318 with 449 homers, one of six guys ever to do that, and one of the great athletes I've ever seen play in the big leagues. Then there's Chipper Jones, who for me is one of the four greatest third basemen of all time, with Mike Schmidt, Eddie Matthews, and George Brett. That's pretty darn good company. Yep. Jim Thome has 612 homers, 13 walk-offs, most in Major League history. And Trevor Hoffman saved 601 games, second most ever. And each one of those guys has a really interesting story to tell, including Trevor Hoffman, who was a shortstop who couldn't hit much. And they said, you need to be a pitcher. And a year later, he was a good pitcher. Amazing. And then, of course, Jack Morris, who pitched Game 7 in 1991, 1-0 shutout, which was just remarkable for all of us who were there. He also started opening day 14 times. And there was never a doubt with Jack Morris who was going to start Game 1 or Game 7 when he was on your team. That's the definition of an ace. And Alan Trammell was just the steadiest, most reliable shortstop you'll see. He was a better player than people thought he was, but because his steadiness just overwhelmed everything else. But I'm so glad that those six got in the Hall of Fame. To me, at least, is a better place with all six of them in.
There are obviously some guys during the course of their careers, and you talked about Jack Morris, that no matter what the circumstance, they're able to actually seem to be better at that moment. Jack Morris seemed to be one of those. The bigger the moment, seemed the better he was, as opposed to maybe a game in July. You know, in your experience, Tim, when you've been around those kind of people, why is it? What makes them different?
Well, there's a certain gear inside. There's a certain competitiveness that all big leaguers have, but some just have more than others. And I remember writing the sidebar on this on Game 7 in 1991 for Sports Illustrated, and my story was just on Jack Morris. And if you remember, Tom Kelly came to the mound, presumably to take him out of the game, and he left without taking him out. And Randy Bush, one of the Twins, told me, if Tom Kelly had tried to take Jack Morris out of that game, it would have been the first time in history that a manager was killed on the pitching mound. And I think that speaks directly to who Jack Morris is. So I know the numbers don't always add up. He's got the highest ERA in the Hall of Fame. I get it. But I watched him pitch, and I understood what it meant to him to go out there and start what he completed and win for his team. And not too many guys were better at that than Jack Morris.
All right, and then the final part here is going to be one that probably embarrasses you, but it's the item that was written today in The Athletic by Peter Gammons, where he wrote, "Here's my class of 20 people who made me and so many of us love baseball." And when he got to number 17 on his list, he specifically put down Tim Kirkjian and Jason Stark. And of you, he wrote the following: "I'm in my 50th year in the news business and believe that Tim Kirkjian and Jason Stark are the purest baseball writers I have ever known." When you have someone of that incredible regard and incredible respect think that about you, what does that make you think?
Well, I'm honored. You have no idea. Peter Gammons is the greatest baseball writer of all time. He taught us all how to write a game story. He taught us all how to write a Sunday notes column, and he taught us all how to work the way you have to work to be a beat writer and a baseball writer. And that is my as good a compliment as I've ever received from anyone, coming from Peter Gammons, who, I repeat, is the greatest of all time.
The Sunday Notes column in the Boston Globe was a staple for this young guy for many, many years. So, Tim, absolute pleasure. The words that he wrote about you were well-deserved, because you're going to be in that category for young writers as well. Thanks for the time you gave us, as always, Tim.
Thank you, Steve. Talk to you later.
Tim Kirkjian, he is one of the best of this generation, and future generations will look at him the way he looks at Peter Gammons. We will come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Todd Callis, who's the television voice of Astros baseball, is going to join us. The Astros have had an incredible run. And, of course, yes, he is Harry's son. And has really carved out his own career. I mean, he's been with the Mets. He was actually with the Phillies for a couple of years. And then for a long time, he was with the Tampa Bay Rays from their inaugural season in 98 all the way through 2016. Then he joined the Astros last year. What a run for him. You know, the weird part was in the postseason when you're the TV guy and you get to the postseason, you then have to step aside because the national contract takes over. It has to be weird for an announcer. You know, Fran Fischer was in that position for years. You know, Fran, you know, 19 years, Fran was the play-by-play voice of Penn State football. 13 the first time through, and then 6 with George. And Fran only did 6 bowl games in his career. He only did 6. He did the Sugar Bowl, and then he didn't do the Rose Bowl in the 94 season. He didn't do the Rose Bowl. He then did the next 5 after that. You know, because they always had to step aside for the national radio guys. Always. So, Fran broadcasting bowl games, I mean, didn't happen. Because that's the way it is. Well, it's the same thing with the baseball guys, the hockey guys, the NBA guys. Like, take Mike Gorman, who does the Celtics. You know what? I've got Gorman's number, too. You know, that's bad. I should get Gorman on the show. That's on me, Sean. I should get Gorman on the show because I've got Mike's number. He's one of the best. But again, they get to a certain point in the playoffs, Mike and Tommy Heinsohn don't do the games. Must have been, I'm going to ask him about that, what it was like just sitting there in the postseason after doing all the games and suddenly hear the Astros marching toward the American League pennant and then eventually the World Series championship. But, we'll talk to him about that and much more. Get his thoughts on the current team, what they're doing, what they're not doing. It's one thing that's been interesting. The Astros did get Maldonado from the Angels, who was a fabulous defensive catcher. He won the Golden Glove Award last year. But, looking forward to talking to Todd Harry Callis on the show today. And he is an outstanding baseball announcer. Loves his dad, you know. At the same time, you also want to be known for what you do, too. Well, he's doing that, so. All right. Couple quick notes for you. Again, we talked about Wheels being on the show Monday. So we're looking forward to having Wheels on the show on Monday to talk about a wide variety of things. Neil Coulong is going to be on Wednesday. Or excuse me, Neil Coulong is going to be on Tuesday. And camps are underway. We're 41 days away from the start of the NFL season. Just 41 days away. By the way, the Jets open practice. Guess who hasn't signed? Sam Darnold, you know, has not signed his contract. There are only two unsigned draft picks in the NFL. Sam Darnold with the Jets and Roquan Smith, the linebacker out of Georgia now with the Chicago Bears. Smith's already missed more than a week of camp. You know, the deals are slotted now. That's why you don't have these kind of contract disputes anymore. The contract disputes are always with the guys that are franchise tagged, like Le'Veon Bell, not with rookies. Darnold's case, he has a deal that is fully guaranteed at $30.2 million, including a $20 million signing bonus. But there's language in the contract that they're not happy with. So, and there's some offsets in the contract, offset language that the Jets want for financial protection in there. Well, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen with the Browns and Bills, respectively, both have contracts that include those offsets. Darnold doesn't want it. And it's interesting because Jimmy Sexton is the same agent for Allen as he is for Sam Darnold. We'll see, but those are the two guys that haven't signed. Sam Darnold with the Jets and Roquan Smith with the Bears. Okay. Everybody else is signed and in camp. Le'Veon Bell's not in camp. Much to your chagrin, your patience for him has waned, I can tell.
Oh, I know. The patience left a long time ago. He tweeted last night a cover of, I don't know if it's his new rap album or a new rap single, and I was about ready to throw my iPhone across the room.
Hmm.
Yeah, priorities. Yeah, it's like if he could just... There's got to be one or two more Steelers fans by the minute just continue to just pull their hair out about this guy. And just can't wait for him to be shown the door.
So you're saying that the suit has thrown out his Le'Veon Bell jersey.
Did he get one?
I doubt it.
I don't think he did, no.
He's got Polamalu. Now, of course, he He rooted for Bettis to be in the Hall of Fame for years.
Yeah.
Loves Chase Utley. Can't stand Ryan Howard. In other words, there's a bottom line. If you blow off suit light, you're out of the club.
Yeah.
I remember one year we did the, I'm going to be going to Front Street Station. And one year we did the preseason preview at Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Suit wasn't there. He was at Steeler camp that day.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.